Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Show you what's been marked as Exhibit G. Do you recognize this document?
It's okay to remove it out of here?
Yes, you have it.
Okay. I do recognize it.
What is it?
It's a note that she had that was, I think they were doing a cell search, if I recall correctly, and they found this in her room.
Okay.
In her cell, sorry.
Okay. And so essentially, the police department, someone discovered that this note had been seized.
Yes.
And you were assigned to go and take the note.
Correct.
And did you talk to the COs and sort of document everything about how that was obtained?
Yes, they had their own report. They provided me with their inside report.
Okay, and do you recall when that was?
I don't. I'd have to see the report. I don't remember the date. I'm guessing early January. I don't recall the date. I have to see it.
If I showed you a copy of a report, would that help refresh your recollection?
It would. It would. It's just too many dates to try to
I know.
Wrap my head around them. So it was January 31st of 2022.
Okay. And, from the time that you obtained that note, did you put it into evidence and secure it and all that stuff?
I did.
Okay. Very, very quickly, I want to talk about securing evidence and why you do it, okay?
Yes.
And why you have these initials and all these bags and stuff. You can't do anything about evidence and what happens and who touches it and how it might get transferred and all that stuff until you collect it, right?
Correct.
If you want to preserve something in the exact condition that you want it to be in, you can't affect what happened before, right?
That's correct.
So all you can do is take what you have available, and from that moment, you can preserve it.
Correct.
Any changes an item might have gone through, any transfer of evidence back and forth, you can't affect that.
I cannot.
But from the moment that you collect it, you're going to make sure that there's virtually no changes in that item, right?
Correct.
And one of the ways that you do it is to collect it and put it in a container.
Correct.
Okay. It might be something like an evidence bag.
Could be.
And It might be something more. It might be an envelope if it's just a document.
Could be, yes.
And in that one, you put it in that clear evidence bag?
I believe this was their evidence bag. But I don't recall if it's ours or theirs. This doesn't look like our bag, but it may have been. We have many different types, so I don't recall if this was mine or theirs.
Okay.
It probably was ours, because I believe I took copies of this, so I believe this would be our bag. I may be mistaken.
And that's a plastic bag?
It is.
So you try and collect it and preserve it in the container appropriate for that evidence?
Sure.
For instance, you wouldn't put the tile in plastic because that might cause
condensation
and affect the condition of the item within there, right?
Sure. Yes.
So you're not so worried about condensation with a piece of paper.
Correct.
Okay. And then when you collect it, the jury has seen items open and it has red tape. This one is sealed just as a product of the bag it's contained in, right?
Correct.
But other evidence items might have some tape on it.
Sure.
And the reason for the tape is that you are securing the evidence and letting anybody know once this is taped that nothing is going to change that item unless we can track it, right?
Sure.
For instance, if evidence has been taped with Manchester Police Department tape, then something might be sent to the lab for checking, right?
Sure.
And the lab would have to open an item to test an item, right?
Correct.
And so when the lab opens whatever packaging that you have retained a piece of evidence in, they actually don't open from the top, right?
I don't do that. I have no idea how they open it.
Sustained.
Okay. So one of the purposes of the different color tapes is to be able to track when an item of evidence has been opened from its packaging.
I use whatever color tape is available. I don't use it for tracking. I use it to seal the item. That's the only reason I do it.
Okay, so if somebody comes along later and opens the item, they have to reseal it to indicate that it's been gone in and then keep the tracking. You don't do that?
Objection, speculation.
Overruled.
I don't reopen evidence. I don't know that I guess it's possible it could happen, but I wouldn't necessarily use a different color tape if I did.
Okay.
I would cut it in a different area. I would tape it and then initial it after.
Okay. So you would cut it in a different area so that somebody knows that it has been opened from the original sealing.
Sure.
And then you would tape it in that second area, right?
Sure.
And you would do a report that documented the fact that for whatever reason you had to go into the bag that contained the item of evidence.
Sure.
So that anybody that wants to know, has there been any changes to this item of evidence, we can track anybody who has had access to
it. It's reasonable, yes.
Okay. But there's nothing you can do about anything before you collect an item of evidence.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, officer.
Yes, officer.
Officer Riley, you were asked about interviewing Kayla Montgomery, and you mentioned that interview ended.
It did.
Can you tell the jurors why that interview ended?
She said that she didn't want to talk anymore and she wanted to get an attorney.
She asked for a lawyer.
She did.
Note G, Exhibit G, that note that was collected, are you sure about who collected it, who put it in that plastic bag?
I think I would have, because I believe I took photocopies. I don't recall if I did photocopies or they gave me photocopies. That's why I'm unsure whether I put it in that bag or someone else.
When you say they may have given you photocopies, you also said it may have been their bags. Who is they?
The that you're referring Valley to? Street Jail, Hillsborough County House of Corrections.
Note G also talks about her wanting to speak to her attorney, right?
Correct.
You were asked about the handling of evidence, packaging. You were asked about cross-contamination. Do you know what cross-contamination is?
Yes.
Can you tell the jurors what cross-contamination is?
Well, it depends on the item of evidence, but, I mean, cross-contamination could be anything from blood to DNA to, I mean, I'm not sure what.
Specifically with respect, and let me back up. You were asked about tiles. Did you collect tiles from that fit shelter?
Tiles? They were collected, yes. I didn't physically collect them, but yes, they were collected.
You collected the ceiling?
Yes.
And this wasn't ceiling tiles, this was the actual ceiling?
This was a drywall, yes.
Do you remember what the drywall was connected to?
It was connected to metal studs, metal framing.
Metal framing?
Yes.
So that's what you collected?
Yes.
After that collection, did you volunteer a DNA sample?
If needed, yes, I did.
Why was that?
Because we were sweating so much, it was nearly impossible to try to measure and take pictures of that stain. I mean, it was just the sweat was running down my face, so I wasn't sure if I could have sweat and dropped any in that opening when I was up in there.
Is that pretty standard when you're collecting items of evidentiary value, of potential evidentiary value, that you volunteer such a thing?
Yes.
And that's for many detectives, correct?
Yes.
I don't have any additional questions. Thank you.
Sorry. The prosecutor asked about how the December 31, 2021 interview ended, and with that note, and you said that Kayla asked for an attorney?
Is that the recorded interview?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she said it. She wrote in the note that she wanted an attorney, yes.
Okay, but the note contained a lot more than "I want an attorney." The note contained what she said
her
story was.
Yes.
That Adam had driven off with Harmony and
she...
Approach.
So the note that essentially entered the interview included that she wanted a lawyer, right?
Correct.
But it also included that she didn't know anything more. Go talk to Adam. He wouldn't talk to her.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about my misreference to the ceiling tiles.
It's okay.
And again, that volunteer of the DNA sample is a lot of stuff can affect an item, and you want to make sure if there's an item of evidence that is revealing information that nobody understands, that they can check your DNA, compare, and see maybe it's that versus something else.
Correct.
If there's a question about perhaps DNA being found.
Correct.
Okay. And by the way, note G that you collected from the COs, you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. That was not the note we're talking about in the interview. That was the note where Kayla had listed her desires in talking to the AGs.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me step down.
Yeah.
Yes. Our mid-morning break, it's about 10:33, so just after quarter of, we'll come back and resume the evidence. Thank you for your attention. All of my instructions apply today as well. So don't talk about the case, please. Thank you. All rise for the jurors, please. All right, 15 minutes, so 12 for you all. Let's be seated. You may be seated.
Brief housekeeping matter for this next particular witness. With regards to the next witness, the state's going to intend to call Detective Brandon Lammy from the Manchester Police Department. This will involve some handling of pieces of evidence, especially some of the larger pieces of evidence. One of the evidence technicians that happens to work in the Manchester Police Department, David Dido, is present in the courthouse today. We would ask if you would be able to just simply glove up and be able to help handle some of those materials for Detective Lammy, rather than having Detective Lammy do all of the work himself, because we will be talking about some of the largest items that we have.
Any objection to that?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, and can he stay during cross and
absolutely
do the same thing?
To be impartial in terms of his ability to assist the jury in understanding the evidence.
So if you want him, if you don't, I'll leave that to you, Attorney Smith, but he'll be available to help manage the larger pieces of evidence if you want that, okay? All right, that's fine. Maybe just introduce him. You know, he's not testifying, but I think it might be useful for them to know who he is. Okay, very good. All right, ready to bring in the jurors? Everybody ready?
Yes, Your Honor, sorry.
NECA, does that fit through there with that table? Oh, I guess maybe they'll take it out of there. The cart, yeah. The cart will fit?
Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect. You may be seated. State may call its next witness.
Yes, Your Honor. The state calls Raymond Lammy.
In addition, Your Honor, we'd like to call evidence technician David Dido simply to be able to assist with the handling of the physical evidence, not to testify.
Any objection?
Not objection.
All
if you can just remain standing, raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony that you're about to provide this jury will be the truth and the whole truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Okay. You can have a seat, make yourself comfortable. There's some water there. And Detective Lammy, if you can get started by just stating and spelling your full name for the record.
Ray Lammy, L-A-M-Y.
And Detective Lammy, how are you presently employed?
I'm currently employed as a detective with the Manchester Police Department.
How long have you worked as a detective?
I've been a detective a little over 5.5 years.
And what's your current assignment?
My primary function is fraud investigation, and I also am a lead in crime scene processing.
What are your current duties and responsibilities, Detective Lammy?
General investigations of any financial crime from start to finish. When it comes to any major crimes in the city, violent crimes, then we all lend a hand and process those and work on those together.
Have you ever had any other roles at the Manchester Police Department?
I was a patrol officer for just about 5 years.
And prior to that, any law enforcement experience?
2 years in Litchfield as a police officer.
Did you graduate from the New Hampshire Police Academy?
I did, class 163, approximately February, March of 2014.
Detective Lammy, do you participate in regular training as a function of your role with the Manchester Police Department?
I do.
What types of training have you completed?
Notwithstanding a litany of financial crime investigations, I've done forensic identification of skeletal remains, bloodstain pattern analysis, crime scene processing, death investigations, FARO certified, and crime scene photography.
You mentioned the FARO just now. Can you tell the jurors just generally what that is?
A FARO is a 3D device that can map out an area. Which is useful for documenting measurements and recreating a scene for the jury, such as yourself.
I want to switch gears, Detective Lammy. Were you working in your official capacity, were you assigned to a particular case involving a missing child, Harmony Montgomery?
Yes.
And can you just generally describe your role and participation in that case?
The majority of my role was helping coordinate evidence processing, liaison between the state lab and private labs, processing of several vehicles for evidence, and also some other various items that were processed.
Did you coordinate with a lab in Florida during your participation?
I did.
And when did your involvement begin?
The beginning of January, we had some initial tips that were phoned in that we went and investigated in Haverhill, Mass. And then a vehicle was processed middle to the end of January.
You mentioned the beginning of January. Do you remember what year that was?
2022.
You mentioned tips, and I want to discuss that. Are you aware of a tip line related to the disappearance of Harmony Montgomery?
Yes, I am.
Had you worked in your career as a law enforcement officer, as a detective, had you worked on a case involving a tip line before?
I've had tips come in for some of my own cases and financial crimes.
I guess I'm referring to a specified tip line associated with this case.
I did not field the tips or the calls. I was just asked to follow up on them.
You were directed to follow up on them?
Correct.
And you said one of those was in, did you say Haverhill, Mass?
Yes.
You mentioned processing vehicles mm-hmm. during your participation in this case. Was one of those vehicles a blue Audi A4 bearing New Hampshire registration number 4569334?
I can tell you that it was an Audi AS4 blue. I can't tell you the exact plate without referencing my notes.
Your Honor, if I may approach.
Yes.
Detective
Detective Lemmy, I'm handing you what's been previously published as State's Exhibit 22 for identification, or for
I do recognize that vehicle. It's the one that I processed here at Manchester Police Department. New Hampshire plate 456-9334.
And that's the audit that you processed?
Yes.
Were you working with other officers or detectives during the processing of that vehicle, Detective Lemmy?
I was.
And how many days, roughly, did it take for you to process that vehicle?
The physical processing of the vehicle took about 3 days, and then there were additional days after that processing the evidence that we took out of it.
Was it consistent, was it consistent with individuals that were assisting you during your processing of that vehicle, or did the members change?
The members changed a little bit.
Do you know a Detective Heil?
Yes.
How about a Detective Pittman?
Yep. The two of them and I were responsible the first day of basically inventorying the vehicle, identifying the majority of the evidence items that we pulled out.
And this jury has already heard about the initial processing as you take in evidence. But Detective Pittman, do you know what his initials were?
JP.
And the items that you collected from that vehicle, were they processed under a specific set of initials?
Yes, JP.
About how many pieces of evidence, potential evidence, were labeled with initials during those your time working on Audi?
I would say it's approximately 271.
Separate from that, did you use any testing during your processing of that Audi?
Yeah. After the first round of testing, or the first round of processing the vehicle, a few items were tested with a method known as a hemostick. And a hemostick basically is a reagent on a strip that, when comes in contact with hemoglobin, will turn a dark green.
Did you test all 271 items using a hemostick?
No, we did not.
Why not?
We essentially looked at the items on what appeared to have potential for yielding some type of blood or DNA.
Are you aware of false positives occurring with the use of a hemostick?
Yes, I am.
And can you explain that to the jury, please?
The reagent on the hemostick can get false positives, which will trigger it to appear to react as if it came in contact with hemoglobin, which is found in blood. And some of the items that can do that are potato, tomato, iron. They can give you what you would think to be a positive, but it ends up being a false positive.
Because of false positives, Detective Lemmy, when you see something that's presumptively positive, what do you do with it?
The presumptive positive is just an indicator that it could have hemoglobin, so we treat everything as if it has the chance to have that. In this particular case, the items that tested positive were sent up to the New Hampshire State Lab for processing.
And I guess let me ask this, do you take additional swabs to send up to the New Hampshire State Lab?
Depending on the item, I believe in this case the items were small enough that we were able to send the whole item up to the lab.
On this particular vehicle, where did you use the hemosticks?
In the back seat, there was a car part just randomly sitting on the seat, and it was plastic with car insulation, like sound deadening insulation on it, and there were a couple of spots on that looked suspicious that I tested.
How would you describe, how would you describe the condition of the vehicle when you examined it?
So the vehicle had what appeared to be, and we didn't test it, but it smelled like it, appeared to have a thick layer of mold all throughout the inside of the passenger compartment.
And you previously mentioned working on that vehicle for several days. Did you take any precautions because of that?
We wore Tyvek suits, and also not wanting to breathe in mold, we wore face masks.
Of the items that were pulled from that vehicle, did you send any off to the state laboratory?
I did.
And do you remember which items you submitted?
The first three items that we did initially were, I believe, JP-55, which was the car part, JP-120, and JP-122, which were carpeted floor mats.
Do you recall submitting item JP-119, 153, 195, 224, 251, 216, 225 to the lab as well?
So those were sent several days or a week later when we processed outside of the vehicle area, and I actually used a different testing method for that one.
What was that testing method?
I transitioned from the Hemostick to Castle-Meier, which is a similar type of test. It's processing using reagents to also identify hemoglobin. But the Castle-Meier historically has been known to provide less false positives. So I transitioned to that and processed approximately 37 items that had come out of the car. And out of that, I believe six gave me a presumptive positive, and one was a false positive.
When you say that one was a false positive, how did you determine that?
So, and not to get too technical, but the way the test works is you drop three drops on a swab. So the swab is used to collect the evidence off of the item. Sometimes it's a dry swab, sometimes it's a drop that's been dipped in sterile water. You rub it on the evidence item, then you drop a couple of drops of what's called phenolphthalein onto the swab. If the swab immediately reacts with just those initial drops, that's considered a false positive, because until you add a couple of drops of hydrogen peroxide, 3%, onto the item, it shouldn't react at all. So in one of the cases, it reacted as soon as I dropped the first couple of phenolphthalein drops onto it.
Excuse me. You mentioned this green color when you're using Hemostick.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a color associated with the Castle-Meier test?
Yes, the Castle-Meier will turn a bright pink.
And is there a different level of pink that you're looking for, or is something else?
It's not so much the level with the Castle-Meier test as it is the time frame of how long it takes to react. So if it reacts immediately, it's a stronger indicator that it's a true positive.
Can you still have false positives with, well,
okay.
I think you mentioned that you did in this case.
Yeah, you can still have false positives with the Castle-Meier. So it's just a presumptive test that gives you an indication. Let's look further at this.
So, Detective, I want to switch gears. I want to discuss processing of a portion of a ceiling. Are you familiar with what I'm referring to?
I am.
And can you just generally tell the jurors what your involvement was with that?
Certainly. So I was aware in my conversations with the team that a large section of ceiling had been gathered. I was also aware that that piece of evidence had been sent up to the state lab for processing. They processed it for different items and did not come back with enough evidence to support there being DNA on the item. I was told by members of the team that they sent a couple of these pieces of the ceiling down to the private lab we mentioned earlier, DNA Labs in Florida, to have tested, and they came back as testing positive for blood.
At this point, Judge, say.
Sustained.
I'll redirect, Judge. So I don't want you to get into the specific testing of any of the items, but just what you did. You've explained that.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I may approach.
Yes.
I'm showing the defense what's been marked for identification. It's basically 40. Detective, I'm handing you what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 40, Exhibits 40 through 51. And I'm just going to ask that you review each in turn and then look up when you're ready.
Okay.
So, are you familiar with those images as well as what's depicted therein?
I am.
And how are you familiar with them?
I took the photos.
Okay. Are they fair and accurate?
They are.
And again, you took these photos?
Yes.
Are they consistent with what you saw the day you took them?
Yes, they are.
All right. At this point, I move to strike the what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 40 through 51.
Without objection. Without.
Without objection, the ID is stricken. They're entered as full exhibits. They may be published to the jury.
Thank you. I'm going to take them back. I'm going to put some up on the screen. We'll go through them. So you mentioned being tasked with processing this item. Are you familiar with the item number associated with it?
MER3D.
And when did your processing occur?
July 15th, 2022.
Specifically, what was the item that you were tasked with processing?
The MER3D was a large section of ceiling tile, which was sheetrock with some metal strips on the top of it.
And so those images that I asked you to look at, put one up on the screen behind you. Can you explain to the jurors what they're looking at?
Yeah, this is the whole piece of evidence as I examined it that day. And you're essentially looking at a center opening that I believe is where a vent was, but I wasn't present when they removed this item. And the metal pieces you see are the strips on the top part of the ceiling. You wouldn't see this from underneath it, but that's what the sheetrock would have been mounted up to.
And when you say you weren't present for the removal, is that from the location that it was taken from?
Correct.
The shelter, the fit shelter?
Correct.
And so what does this image depict?
This image is evidence. I requested that the item be, that I examine the item, because we didn't, well, I won't speak to the lab results, but I requested that I review the item to see if I could find any potential traces of evidence that we should be looking for. So the evidence technicians brought this out for a viewing. I viewed the item. I noticed things on the item that made me suspicious that there were additional areas that we should be testing.
Detective Lemmy, let me ask you this. When you received the item from the laboratory, was it packaged up?
Yes. So it was, this is how I found it at evidence. The evidence technicians brought it out, they opened it, and this is how I found it.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
So, Detective Lemmy, I'm showing you it's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 108. Are you familiar with this item?
I am.
And what is it?
It's a hand sketch that I made of the ceiling.
And when we discussed your processing of that portion of the ceiling, how did you process it?
So the entire physical piece, as you see it here, was brought into our training room at the police station. It was placed on two work tables with that side face up. It was removed from the evidence bag that it was in and placed on butcher block paper on the tables. Then we went through the process of basically dismantling the metal pieces from the sheetrock.
And let me stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
going through that process of dismantling the metal framing from the sheetrock, was it important to keep track of what was coming from where on this object as a whole?
Yes. So because the whole piece was entered into evidence as one evidence number, once I was going to start dismantling it, I attached my own initials and numbers to each piece that was then separated.
So when you attached your own initials, did you still preserve the earlier initials? So MER3D, and then your initials following that?
Correct.
And so this item that I've just shown you, why did you create this?
Well, other than having photos of it, this helps to show where the positioning of each of the items was. It's not to scale, but it shows where the items were so that we could have a better understanding.
Did you create this as a demonstrative to show where each piece came from?
Yes.
Each of the pieces, I think you mentioned this, but you gave a specific evidence number of its own with your own initials attached.
Correct.
Is this a fair and accurate representation of the sketch that you created?
Yes.
At this point, I move to strike the ID of State's Exhibit 108. Mark is full and published to the jury.
No objection.
The ID is stricken. It's entered as a full exhibit. It may be published.
And so I've added the image to the screen behind you. That states Exhibit 108. And I want to discuss the items that you packaged or that you removed. You mentioned the railing. Did you remove any other items?
We separated several of the pieces of the sheetrock from the main unit. There was one large piece that I ended up keeping intact, but then we separated off parts that didn't appear to be important as far as any potential evidence items on it.
And you mentioned taking the photos. Did you give those photos specific evidence numbers?
Yes.
Did you provide a description along with each of those evidence numbers?
I did.
And so can you explain to the jury what they're looking at here?
So I'll point up here if you can't see, let me know, but I just put a tape measure on it just to see what the distance was between the metal grids. On here, there's also a couple of handwritten letters written right onto the sheetrock. That was not done by me. I presume that was done by the state lab. And there's what appears to be a dark stain in the center of this piece of sheetrock.
And so the letters that you're referring to, if you can just read them for the jurors.
Far left is the letter A next to that cutout. B cutout. C and D are in the stain area.
And when you received this item back from the state crime lab, or the state forensic laboratory rather, that had already been done. That's not something that you did during your processing.
That's correct.
So this item is MER3DRL4. Can you describe what the jurors are seeing in this picture?
RL4 is the metal grid that runs across here. It was sitting on top of that dark stain, and it's lifted up on edge, so flipped up on its side. And there's also dark staining on the metal itself.
And when you say that dark staining, did that become an area of potential evidentiary value during your processing?
Yes, it did.
And I just want to show the jurors where that item MER3D RL4 came from. Do you see it depicted on the the sketch you drew?
So RL4 is the section that runs completely across the larger piece. And in this smaller box, it's right here.
And what's depicted in this image?
This is still part of MER3D RL4. It's the other end of the piece, and it's also showing dark staining running underneath that grid.
I want to move on to RL14. What's depicted in this image?
RL14 ended up being a piece of the sheetrock that we separated from the main piece. It's separated approximately at where this line is, and this is the dark stain on the sheetrock itself that had been under RL4.
And I want to look at where that came from in relation to the portion of the ceiling that you processed. Can you just point that out on your sketch?
Yeah, so RL14 is this section right about to here, over to about this line that extends from here.
And what does this image depict?
RL16, so this line right here would have been where RL4, that long strip that runs across, and then RL16 is another section of sheetrock that we separated from the main piece of interest, and approximately at where that thin line is going across, that's where we separated that piece from.
During your processing of MER3D, did you become aware of low points in or warps essentially in the drywall and framing area?
I can't tell by looking at it the way it's laying on our workstations if the item would have been angled when it was sitting on the ceiling itself. But what I can tell from looking at this, where there was a dark stain in that center, and then you see a much darker stain running along that railing, it would appear that the fluid that would have made that stain would have run along that, which is not uncommon for fluid to track an object that's attached to it.
Did the fluid, the staining, appear to be absorbed into the drywall?
It appeared to be absorbed into the drywall more in that center area where it was a lighter color. And then it didn't, it was much heavier consistency along the, where the rail had been.
And what is depicted in this item, this image?
So this is still part of where RL4 was, sitting on top of it. And this is just a shot from the side of the piece to show that there's depth to the staining itself.
At the time of your processing, Detective Lemmy, were you aware of other testing that had been conducted on this item at the lab?
I was.
Laboratory? And can you tell the jurors what that is?
So those two square cutouts that you saw on the sheetrock itself where the paper was missing, those two had been cut out and sent down to the lab as part of the state's processing of the item. And the results came back.
Objection, hearsay?
Sustained.
Not asking you for the results, okay. But you were aware of other testing that had been conducted.
Correct.
Were you aware of fingerprint testing, latent print testing conducted on that item?
I hadn't reviewed results of that, but I was aware that some had been attempted.
What does this image depict?
It's just another more direct on from the side of where RL4 had been sitting, the kind of the thick layer of staining.
And again, this item?
Again, this is RL4 going across, and then this section that goes up, that's where RL3 railing had been.
In this image?
And this just continues on. This is where RL3 was. RL2 was down in this area. That's where the initial stain had been, and then RL1 would have been up in this area.
Are you aware of whether there was a vent involved in the processing of this item?
I was aware just from the team, but I had not viewed it.
Are you aware of where the opening to that vent would have been?
Yes, the opening of the vent would have been in this area. There was metal grids coming out this way in the initial photos.
You mentioned the Castle-Meyer testing. Did you swab? Did you use the Castle-Meyer test during your processing? And what's depicted in the image?
So again, this is the part of RL4 that we were looking at predominantly. It's showing my sample swab, and it's showing a bright pink result. So essentially, a swab was used, it was dipped in a sterile water, it was rubbed on the staining itself in that area, and then the Castle-Meyer test was applied to it. And once the couple of drops of the hydrogen peroxide were applied to it, it was an immediate pink.
And can you remind the jurors what that immediate pink, what it told you?
The faster it reacts, the more likelihood it is that it's a positive versus a false positive.
Detective Lamy, based on your processing of MER3D overall, the portion of the ceiling that you processed, did you submit any of those items to DNA Labs International?
I did.
And what of those items did you submit?
That whole piece of sheetrock that remained after those other few that we looked at were removed was sent down as one item. The rails that came off, RL1, RL2, RL3, and RL4, those were packaged separately and sent down as well.
And let's talk about those rails, Detective Lemmy. When you removed the rails from the drywall, did you have any observations?
So other than the darker staining like this that was present under a couple of them, once RL4, which was the long piece, and over the part that was more heavily stained, as soon as that piece came up off the sheetrock, there was a noticeable foul smell.
And what was that smell associated with?
I would speculate that it's from that stain itself.
Detective Lamy, I want to switch gears and I want to talk about the ceiling itself. We have portions of it here, and I'm going to ask that you remove, and you have your evidence custodian with you, technician with you. I'm going to ask that you remove them from their packaging to show to the jury. And so, Your Honor, I would just ask that this witness be permitted to move freely with the evidence technician.
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
So, Detective Lamy, I'm just going to ask that you remove certain items, and then I'd like you to identify where that specific item would be in relation to the scale that you drew.
Do you want us to maintain individual gloves for each piece of each item, or are you not going to do that?
Yes, please. Okay. And Detective Lamy, if you can start with Exhibit 74, identified as MER3D RL13.
perspective, well, I mean, we'll be consistent with you. Specifically with respect to RL-13, is that one of the items that was sent down to DNA Labs International in Florida?
Yes, it was.
Council, while they're doing that, could you approach the steward?
Ask that you pick it up. I'm sorry to ask, but pick it up and just show it to the jurors if you can walk in front of
them. Well, actually, if you pick it up, I don't think it needs to be.
And Detective Lemmy, if you can set that down. Your Honor, I would move to mark what's been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 74 as full, so strike the ID and publish. I missed doing that prior.
No objection.
All right. The ID is stricken. It's entered as a full exhibit.
So, Detective Lemmy, if you can just identify where RL-13 is in relation to the sketch that you've drawn.
Sure.
And for the jurors, if it's difficult to see because it's low to the ground and you want to stand, you should feel free to do that, okay?
As it was presented to you from that face view, what you saw was the cutoff from here over this way down to about this section. And that's what that bottom dark stain was from here over to the edge.
I would just ask if Your Honor would allow, if Detective Lemmy can just point that out to the jurors there.
He can point it out, yes.
If he can approach closer to the jurors.
On the board?
With the board.
Oh, sure, yeah. Just the condition of that, I didn't think it made sense to get too close.
So what you were seeing down behind the paper was the dark stain emanating this way. RL-3 had been here, you saw a small jet out of dark stain, and the darker is in this section. And RL-4 was this piece that ran straight across it.
Move Exhibit 74. I want to move on to Exhibit 75, which is RL-15.
Okay.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.